Hey Edward.
Hey.
So today we're gonna discuss and talk a little bit about Mutual TLS. AWS has recently made some interesting developments in the way to handle it. So without further ado, let's talk about Mutual TLS, like how it differs from the traditional TLS, and get the discussion going from there. So basically, TLS, the most of us will be familiar with it. Mutual TLS is basically that you have a certificate that the source can check the sender, but then you have another certificate that the sender can also check the source. It's using X509 certificates, if I'm not mistaken. And basically, it helps validating not only the host, but also the client that is actually using. We see it increasingly being used in APIs, but it's super important to basically use it because it can reduce the complexity of the infrastructure by quite a lot. But do you have some examples of what problems it actually solves in relation to how it's been set up and stuff like that?
Yeah, if you just have your normal website, you only need just regular TLS. But then when you have an application with an API that you want to have customers connect to, how do you do authentication? How do you authorization? Well, it's easy to just give them an X509 certificate so that they can authorize when they connect, authenticate and authorize when they connect. Then you know who is the client because we will give every client a specific certificate. And on AWS, so if you would deploy on AWS, there were certain solutions, but there's now a new solution. Now you can have MTLS with your application load balancer. So I'll just share my screen for a second, and then I can show you what AWS came out with.
Because previously, if you see what we saw in the industry is that you have a lot of companies setting up VPNs and stuff to enforce that trust between the client and the server actually. But I think this can help. There we go.
Yeah, so
Awesome.
this is the block, AWS block. So a client connects to the server, server presents server certificates, but then also the client presents the client certificates and then server verifies it and grants the client access. So yeah, in the past, I mean, you always had the option to use TLS, but you could also use like some kind of key and give every client a key to authenticate. But that's like a less secure way than giving a client a certificate. So certificate is actually a preferred way, a more secure way of establishing communication. So that's that mutual TLS. And previously, Amazon would have this available with the API gateway. So if you would run an Amazon API gateway, right? And then typically you either have a Lambda or could have something else as well, some other backends, just a container, for example. Could have a container, something like ECS as a backend, an ECS container. And then you would configure the API gateway to connect to it. You would have a client connecting to the API gateway. So you would have a client here. And what we saw with our customers is this solution can work, but there are some limitations with this solution. For example, one limitation is a timeout, right? API gateway has a backend timeout. It's like 29 seconds or something like that. So if your software works in a way that your backend takes more than 29 or 30 seconds to execute, this solution would not work for you. You could configure MTLS, that would be no problem, but then if a request takes long and often, yeah, with software with REST endpoints, you don't want it to take 29 seconds, but there's always this edge case. There's this edge case like, okay, we have this one API call and that
A
takes
reporting
longer.
call or
So
something like that, yeah.
exactly, right? So the solution would then be something like network load balancer, which just sends traffic. And then you could have like an advanced API gateway. Right. But then you're getting outside the AWS ecosystem, right? Because then you're going to, for example, implement an Envoy proxy, Envoy. And then here you would do, for example, MTLS and routing and everything that you want to do just to come across, just to fix the downsides that you have with one solution. You would kind of build your own solution. But your own solution is also difficult to maintain because Envoy brings out new versions, and then you need to keep that up to date. It's not tied in with the AWS ecosystem with the other AWS products. So it already gets like quite difficult to do this kind of setup. I mean, initially it works, but long term to maintain it, it's quite a lot of work.
Yeah, also generating certificates, all that stuff, maintaining the infrastructure, creating single like points of failure, because it's like the entry point of your application. If it's not managed by something of Amazon, it tends to break sometimes. And then
you might have to run two of them already.
Because
indeed, API gauge runs two for you in every AZ, and here you already have to do it manually, right? You have to say, okay, I'm gonna run two of these. But then you have a config here. How do I make sure that the config is in sync? Things like that, you know. So it's not obvious. It always looks easy on paper, but then when you have to maintain it, then it starts getting difficult. Now you have this application load balancer, which opens just some more possibilities, some other architecture that you could design. The application load balancer right here. And the timeout here, the backend timeout is not 30 seconds. So it's much, much higher. I think it's 60 seconds by default, but you can increase it to a very high number, which fits a lot more use cases, right? And there's also a lot of people that say, okay, Amazon API Gateway, I like it, but it's a very difficult service to work with. So if you just want more kind of lower abstraction, you know, like you don't want to have all the bells and whistles of the Amazon API Gateway, you don't really need an advanced API Gateway, you just want to kind of say, I have this load balancer, these are my routes. This can be an easier solution. And also the way that you pay for it is also different, right? So you could have a lot more requests here. Here you really have the Amazon API Gateway, you pay for the requests. Here's more. I mean, you also pay for the routing. There's like there's a routing element there to compute a rule where it's gonna end up. But in general, application load balancer can be for depending
actually,
on the depending on the access pattern. So the Amazon API Gateway is not always a complete fit. I mean, it's a great service, right? Because you have all these advanced gateway features just
if you need them.
If you need them, right?
Absolutely.
But we also saw that Amazon, it's getting super complex in Amazon. You have all these products. Some people just want simple products. Amazon, the application load balancer is like a simple product, not too many bells and whistles that you can use. And if you now, and now you can use MTLS on the application load balancer, it's actually a huge benefit for any Amazon customer that runs just application load balancer and then wants to use MTLS to protect their API endpoints, basically, right? So you're not going to use it for your general website that everyone has to visit, but then when you need to integrate, when you need to give a customer access to a protected API, then you would use something like MTLS.
Yeah, we see this a lot with our fintech clients who want to provide external access to other third parties or so, and then they use this setup. Depending on how modern the counterpart is, of course, that they are able to do it this way. But it works. It works great, especially the simplicity of managing the certificates, and in most cases the, like in our reference architecture stack, like the application load balancer is already there. So it's basically just not as simple as just checking a box, but it comes close to it in comparison to building up knowledge about Envoy, deploying containers for Envoy, adding a network load balancer, splitting off like certain API endpoints to that network load balancer in comparison to the application load balancer. It's all a lot of infrastructure involved that this has been mitigated.
Fixing security bugs.
Exactly. If you see the release schedule of Envoy, luckily they come up with a lot of updates, but yeah, you have to follow them and you have to do them. And it becomes such a critical part of your infrastructure that like if it's just able to mitigate it away to the managed service, in this case the application load balancer, it's a great solution.
Yeah, you bring up something quite interesting, right? Because on Amazon, something that I deployed 10, 15 years ago will still work, right?
Yep.
S3, the API didn't change. Every API upgrades or every change that Amazon did is transparent for you. You don't have to update your SDK. At some points you have to, but they are very good in communicating when there's actually a breaking change.
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000 emails.
But then, with cloud native software, okay, it's quite interesting. It's open source. You can use it. It doesn't cost you extra money. You can just deploy it. But what a lot of people struggle with at that point is you have to follow their release schedule. And all these like Envoy, like Kubernetes, they release a lot of new versions. So you run an Envoy or Kubernetes, and 6 months later, you're already missing two versions sometimes, you know? Yep. So it's very difficult to catch up with them. So if you have like a stable business and you don't really want to update your infrastructure components every 6 months, every year, it's quite interesting that you could actually go with AWS native AWS products, don't have to update at all for years.
Nope.
But when you go for the cloud native versions, there's a very high, it's very likely that
you have
to do multiple upgrades, and those take time, and you have to be very careful, and there can be downtime if you do them wrong. And you need to have someone in the company that knows about Envoy, that knows about if you run Envoy and Istio, that knows about Envoy and Istio, if you run Kubernetes, that knows about Kubernetes, but then you have all these dependencies and these modules and these plugins. So you need some people, maybe they need only more than one person that knows about
exactly
all these components. So then it already starts to get really difficult. And then because then the discussion we also have sometimes, and then what is the effort? What is the biggest effort? Trying to get rid of this 60 seconds API call if you want to use the Amazon API gateway, right? Or building more infrastructure, right? And that's like the discussion that we often have, right? What is the best way forward? Can we do a clean setup by fixing some things? Or are you going to create more infrastructure, bring in some extra tools, making your infrastructure more complex, right? And that initially might look like a good idea, but then down the road when you have to start updating this, it can be really like a hell. You can start getting into some kind of a hell environment.
And also, like it's like you said, it takes a lot of time to maintain it, and preferable it's been maintained by multiple people, so the person who actually set it up can actually be on holiday and doesn't need to be on call
24/7
or leave the company. But not only that, like it's not because the software is free that it doesn't involve cost. If you look at the amount of man hours that you have to put in to maintain this in comparison to just use it using the application load balancer, it's crazy actually. But that's a cost that a lot of technical people don't really see immediately. They just see like, oh, it's free, so running it is free as well. But then in the end, if you look at the total cost that it costs to actually maintain that component, it's actually quite expensive software in comparison to the managed service of Amazon.
Yeah, you would have to, I mean, for every software that you want to implement, you really would have to write a business case and see long term, what are the changes involved? How do I update this service? It's not just bringing in this component and then that's it. There's a much more work involved in long term,
basically as well.
It's liability. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. You can basically avoid all. Also, if you're being audited later on, it's just like, you have to do updates on these components? How much do you do them? Can you show me some proof about that you updated? So, yeah, it makes life a lot easier that you can focus basically on business value in comparison to running tech for the sake of running tech.
Yeah.
No resume driven design. No, awesome.
I think we covered everything for MTLS.
Yeah, I think so as well. If there are questions, they can always reach out and see where we can help. But I think we covered most of it, what it is, what it does, the best practices. Like, I think
how we think about it.
How we think about it. Maybe slightly opinionated, but that is what it is, right? Thanks for the explanation, Ward, and see you next time.
Yeah. All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.